Well, it all started about December. Had a nice day off. I figured what better thing to do than work with my hands, have a little distraction from the rest of life, and get some brownie points for the wife. There's this project up on the third floor of building this built-in cabinet thing that I needed to do. And so I found myself downstairs in the basement by myself, cutting boards, doing what was called a dado cut, except I didn't really have a dado blade. And if you don't know anything about woodworking, you don't want to hear all that. But it was these cuts that happen over and over and over again. And after about 10 minutes of these cuts, somewhat mindless, a very physical, difficult thing happened. To this day, I still don't understand why or what, but the board jumped and my fingers went into the blade. And then ran upstairs to get some kind of towel to put them over my fingers. I put them over my fingers. I called my wife and I said, hey, Lib, I need you to come home. Fortunately, she was only about a mile away. And she said, why? I said, I just need you to drive me to the hospital. Unfortunately, the doctor that I needed to see me, a hand surgeon, there was no hand surgeon that was there. And so after I went through some basic triage, I had to again get in the car and go to another hospital. And when I go up to this other hospital, there's a hand surgeon there, and his name is Dr. Welsh. Coming to the doctor here is sort of an interesting thing. Every time I come up to the doctor, I've always wanted to cancel the appointment because I thought, what's the point of coming here? My bleeding is done. There's no other point. And then every time I come to the doctor, I learn something or something happens that facilitates my healing process. Thing to be in here too, because most of the time I'm sitting in here with people who have had the exact same thing happen. Sat here with people who have the exact same fingers and have them sitting up like this. You find out when you come to a place like this that you're not that unique. You really think that your pain is the only pain that's been, or that your injury is unique, but it's really not. Here we go.
Yeah.
Hey, doctor.
Hi. Welcome.
Good to see
ya. Not too much of a scar on the top. Now look, should take 6 months or so for
six
it to grow out.
Now I'm thinking about this week in the service. I haven't done it since I messed with my fingers, but I'm actually thinking about playing the guitar.
Oh yeah.
Do you think I could do that with these fingers?
Cause oh yeah.
Because it feels really...
You have normal sensation there? You should have
sensation. Yeah, but I can still feel it when I put pressure on it. I don't know if it's a mental thing or if it's a physical thing. You know, remember we talked about the whole desensitization?
Right. You know, it takes over time to build up the callus, the normal thickness of the skin at the tip of an injured finger. Hmm. It's gone kind of thin on you by not using it. Huh. So you should keep rubbing it on a rough surface like your denims or on the guitar strings or
desensitization.
Any other, to both desensitize it and to build up the thickness of the callus. You might say healing is kind of God's gift to man, and so we are kind of built to heal.
I would have healed on my own if I would have not come to you, but I wouldn't have had this fingernail, because if you had not gone in and cut back the tissue, I would have webbed over and I wouldn't have had a fingernail.
To be a patient, you have to be patient and allow yourself to heal at your own rate. All too often, people today have what we call unrealistic expectations about healing up faster than normal.
You see this in your line of work physically, and my line of work spiritually, I see the same thing. I see people who have maybe been abused as kids, or they had their heart ripped out at a junior high prom, where they went bankrupt, and they expect that if God gets involved in their life, they're instantly going to feel better, they're instantly going to heal, and everything's going to be okay. And even where we see, it just takes time to recover from those kind of wounds. Doctor!
You're on your way.
Thank you so much for giving me your A game. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Dr. Welsh!
Looking good.
Whatever happens, come see him. Never fails to amaze me how God's truth and God's teachings are cohesive. That everything is true, is from God, and is what God is about, and how there are things that we can learn about how God operates and how the spirit world operates by getting to know a little bit about the physical world. And that's one of the things that I've learned throughout this entire process, and I feel better for it personally, and maybe you will too by the end of this service.
Healing was a big theme in Jesus' ministry. He would go around and heal people, and every healing seemed to have an interesting twist in it. And it's because I think there were issues that were under the surface as Jesus was dealing with beyond just the physical healing. Maybe today someone's going to get physically healed in here. Maybe today you personally are going to be emotionally or spiritually healed, or maybe something is going to trigger you to go to a new place. One of the interesting stories about Jesus and healing comes from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17. By the way, you know, I said today maybe someone got physically healed in here today. Someone's like, ooh, that's kind of, you know, part of the thing is, what do you really expect from God? What do you expect and what are you hoping for from God? We'll get more of that in just a moment. Here's what it says in the book of Luke chapter 17. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. There's a lot of stuff to dig into this this little passage. I'm just going to pull a few things out and talk about them. What we see here are people, 10 people, who have wounds. They have the wounds of leprosy. Leprosy was a physical ailment. Boils and stuff was all over you. But it wasn't just a physical issue. It was a social issue and it was an emotional issue. Because to have this kind of physical issue, it meant that you were viewed as a hyper sinner. In that culture, that Jewish culture of the day, they believed that if you had any physical problems, it was because God was judging you and giving you physical pain. And so what they did is they removed you from the place of worship. You couldn't actually go to the temple and hang out with other people because you were unclean. And so to have leprosy meant you were a complete and total outcast. Physically, this wasn't the biggest deal for them. The biggest deal was for them, the emotional, social stigma and the spiritual stigma that came with this. And so when Jesus comes and starts interacting with them, healing starts to take place. Every last person in here needs healing. I know you don't think that you do. You do. Every last person in here needs healing. There's 8 steps that I'm going to walk through today, and hopefully you see where you are in the midst of this journey, because you are accidentally, if not intentionally, somewhere in these steps. Step number 1 is the wound. The wound. When you get hurt, when something happens to you, you know, it's pretty easy to understand. Your finger goes into a table saw blade, but there's other wounds that happen. Wounds like divorce. Wounds like going to a marriage and you're tired of going to people's marriage because you want to be married, and every marriage you go to or someone you hear is getting married, it makes you more bitter, more upset that you're not in that place. Wounds like bankruptcy. When you save your money and you're responsible fiscally and you try, finally get your ducks in a row to start that business and it tanks. And not only did you get a wound financially, but you get a wound socially. Your ego goes down because people thought that you were going to make it. Now you feel like and you look like a loser. Wounds like being cut from your junior high basketball team. And maybe you liked basketball before, but you don't play basketball to this day because that totally bummed you out. And now you feel like a failure at sports. And maybe you don't do any sports at all. Wounds like having an adulterous affair. Or the person who you're with having the adulterous affair or cheating on you. I mean, the things go on and on and on and on. But all these things are things that wound us, that hurt us, that cause us to bleed. And that actually takes us to step 2. Stop the bleeding. You just stop the bleeding. This is like as natural as falling off the log. You just stop the bleeding. When I was at the table saw and hit these fingers, I'm really good with feeling pain. I actually have a pretty high pain threshold. But I don't like looking at pain. Are you a similar way? Am I the only one? Like if I see somebody who's in pain or someone tells me their story about how they got hurt, my butt's puckering. I'm like, ooh, I'm not digging that at all. You know, I just don't. I'm okay feeling, I don't like feeling pain, but I'm much better feeling pain than looking at pain. So when my fingers get jacked up and go into the thing, into the blade, I don't even want to look at it. I'm like, ooh, get a towel. I run upstairs. I get this towel. I'm jamming it on it. And when I'm hurting too, I'm always walking. Are you the same way? I'm just walking. I'm like, oh man, I'm sweating. I'm knowing this is not good. I think this is not good. I call Libby. I've kind of got this. I pulled it like this. I get a phone. I call her. I say, honey, you take me to the hospital. You take me to the hospital. She said, okay, I'm almost home. Okay, good, click. And we're going like this. And I'm thinking, man, you know what? I don't think that I got a really good look at my fingers. Are they still there? But you don't want to pull off the thing that's stopping the bleeding, because you just want to stop the bleeding. So I go back downstairs. I'm going, let's see if I can find some fingers around here somewhere. Seriously, I'm going down. I'm looking around. I'm going, I don't know, maybe the blade flung it against the wall or something like that. I'm going, I was around 5 minutes down there. No fingers. Come back upstairs. Libby was there, so it was all good to go. But you just stop the bleeding. And this is so natural. It's so natural. You're in a meeting, and someone says something hurtful to you, insults your performance or whatever it is, and you stop the bleeding. And how you stop the bleeding could be any number of ways. You could just fake it and laugh along with it. That's funny. Everyone's laughing. They're laughing at you. You're hurt. You're wounded. But the way you stop the bleeding is pretend like you're okay. Or you're just one of those types that you wear your emotions on your sleeve. You turn beet red. You get up and you walk out of the meeting. Whatever it is, you stop the bleeding. Someone hurts you, and the way you stop the bleeding is you castigate them and you cut them off and you never see them again. Whatever it is, you just stop the bleeding. This is so natural. These first four steps, these are natural things. The second four are unnatural. First four steps are normal. The second four steps are abnormal. You stop the bleeding. Now, the third thing that happens is you get bitter. Bitterness. You get bitter. I had bitterness with this. It wasn't too long, but it was still real. I'm bitter about thinking, okay, God, man, if you got these things called angels, why couldn't they like put my hand away or something like that? Where's the Capital One angel when you need them or something like that? The thing. And then you have moments you're thinking, and my wife just drives me too hard around the house. That's just, you know, no more fixer up projects. No more. I'm not doing that anymore. She actually does not drive me too hard. She is way too graceful. I don't do nearly enough around the house. But you know, when you actually get cut and you're wounded, you get bitter. You do. You get bitter. So you're going, man, this is. And then I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm 40 years old. This is not some doing fixer upper projects. This is nuts. I should be paying somebody to build these built-ins. It's not, at what point, God, am I going to get the place where I just write a check and I don't have to do fixer-up projects? This is ridiculous. I'm sure you never think those thoughts, right? You never. The bitterness thing, it's real. You get, and here's the other thing that happens. When you get bitter, you hang around other people who are bitter. You like the smell of your own blood, and you like the smell of other blood that's similar to yours, and dysfunction attracts dysfunction. It's true. You go to a party, the most dysfunctional people in the room will just find each other. They do. Honestly. I remember I had a relative that had to testify in a divorce case of another relative, and he kind of cracked the attorneys up. He said, yeah, you know, I thought it was really great that these two people got divorced, or that they got married, because both of them were so screwed up that when they got married, they only screwed up one marriage. But if they married different people, then two marriages would have been screwed up. You know, this is what happens with our blood. And this is actually what's happening at this story with these lepers. The region here is between Galilee and Samaria is what it says. Galilee and Samaria, this was a racially torn area. Galilee was predominantly Jewish. Samaria is obviously Samaritans. And Jews hated Samaritans. You want to talk about a race issue? This is a huge, huge race issue. When Jesus tells a story that you might have heard the phrase, the Good Samaritan, this was disgusting to the Jews that were hearing this. A good Samaritan? There's no good Samaritan. So for them to hear this was very, very painful. Hi, Dan. I didn't see you down there. Good to see you, Jeffrey. Oh, sorry. I didn't say that. I haven't seen him for a while. This is very, very painful. But yet, these people who would normally be at war with each other are together, the Samaritans and Jews. Why is that? Because they're bleeding together. Hurt people hang around hurt people. You do. If you're a bitter person, you hang around bitter people. You probably have been hurt and wounded in similar ways as the people who hang around you. If you've got trust issues, you probably hang out with people who have trust issues. This is just sort of the way it works. It's natural. It's normal for this to happen. Step four, accommodation. Accommodation. You accommodate the wound. You make adjustments to your life. You know, when this happened with me, my life didn't really slow down. I got this all bandaged up, and I fortunately have an assistant, so I still send the same number of emails and letters out, because I would just do the dictaphone thing and say something, give it to her, and all go out. I accommodated. And after a while, I don't like that, because I like to craft my own stuff on my own screen myself. And so I learned to type with these two fingers, everything else in these two fingers. And I'm a generally pretty good typer. I just accommodated. I learned accommodating. Just load up my right pocket. Put my cell phone, my wallet in there, my breath mints, put it all in there. Don't put anything over here in the left side. Or when you do put it in the left side, I can't put my hand in here. I learned really well how to put my right hand in my pocket. You might have never done that before. You ought to try it. I'm pretty good at it right now. Got a little breath mint for afterwards. I can put it in my right pocket. And then, let me get that out. I'm good. I can do it really good. I've learned that. I've learned that accommodation. Seriously, you should try that. I bet I can do it better than you. It's pretty good. See, humans are, we're uniquely blessed to accommodate. God has kind of created humans as a unique species to be able to deal with things and adjust as other created things aren't. Our eyes go bad. We learn to just get close to the screen. We lose a limb. We learn how to adjust, and other people come around us. Man, if you're in the wild kingdom, you lose a limb, you get eaten, and you die. You just die. We learn to accommodate. We adapt. You could take us, and I could drop you in the middle of a culture where you don't know any of the language, and you would survive. You'd figure it out. You could. You would live. You'd figure it out. You take a frog from Argentina and drop it in Mason. Frog's going to get killed, or there's going to be not any natural predators, and they're going to throw off the whole ecosystem. As humans, we are able to accommodate, and this is a blessing from God, but yet at the same time, it can turn to be a curse if we are satisfied with where we are right now, because accommodating is not the same as healing. Healing is when you have freedom. Healing is when you can go and do things and experience life to the fullest without the shadow and without the hamperings of the previous wound. Now, there's a decision point right here. If you're following along your notes, I gave you notes today. There's a big line between the first four and the second four steps. These first four steps, as I said, they're natural. They're normal. You will naturally do these four steps. And then from here on, fewer and fewer people will go to the next step. In fact, I would guess 95% of you have never gone any further than this. 95% of you just stop right here at this place. And so you have to have a decision. There's a decision point where you say, am I okay just accommodating, or do I want to go to a place where I actually encounter healing? And if you want to encounter healing, then the next step is you dig in. You dig in. I went up to the doctor's office, and he would always take a look at my thing about every couple of weeks just to monitor the progress. And one day I go in there, and I knew that this middle fingernail, it was going to be iffy whether or not I had this middle fingernail. But I started to get used to the thought of not having a fingernail, and I started to get more and more mobility. So, I wasn't thinking too much about it. And I go in there, and he starts, you ever go to a doctor, and they don't have much sensitivity training, do they? he'd come in, and he'd be like, going like this, easy, but you don't want to say that. You're going, He's kind of always pinching this thing and all that stuff. And he looks at that and goes, you look like you have some webbing over the nail bed there. See if we can try to save that nail. He pulls out these scissors. He starts jamming these scissors in this thing. No Novocaine, no laughing gas, just raw metal on raw flesh. Snips it. What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm looking around. I can deal with the pain. I just don't want to look at it. I don't want to look at you cutting me. And he says, I think there's some tissue under there that if it webs over, it'll smother it. And so we basically have to go in and cut back the tissue to try to give it life so it regenerates itself, is basically what he says. See, in the physical world, this is what doctors understand. And it's the same way it is in the spiritual world. If you want healing, you must dig in. You must remember things that you don't want to remember. You must see people you don't want to see. You must do things that you don't want to do. You must go to God and remember these things and talk with God about them. You must go and talk with friends about them. And if you don't have friends, you got to go to a paid friend called a counselor and talk with them about them. And really, any counselor would tell you that 90% of their load is stuff that we don't talk with our friends about. And it's counselors are wonderful things. Been there before, I'm sure I will be there again. It's a wonderful thing. One of the reasons we got to go to counselors is because our pain has chased other people away from us, and we don't have people who like us to talk with about, so we have to go get some healing to a counselor to talk to things. And there's obviously some things that a trained professional, we need that person for. But whatever it is, there comes this place where we actually have to go back and dig in. And Jesus would do this with people. You see him doing these strange things or saying these strange things beyond simply putting his hands on people and then it all goes away. One time he's interacting with some people who are blind, or a dude that's blind, and in Matthew chapter 20, verse 32, he says this guy, he says, hey, what do you want me to do for you? Now, if you're blind and this guy who is healing people is around, how are you feeling right now? Hello, you know what I want you to do for me? Help me see? What kind of stupid, insensitive question is that? What do you want me to do for you? I want to see. Well, what's Jesus doing here? He's actually digging in. He's forcing this person to dig in for them to say, what is I really want? Do I just want to have a life that accommodates? Do I really want God in my life? Do I want a life of full joy? God asks us these kind of questions. What is it you want me to do for you? What is it you really want? You might not even know what you want. But the process of going through that is a digging in thing where we actually dig in. And sometimes these wounds spring up on us. We're surprised by them. I was surprised by one last week, a couple days ago. My daughter was talking about going to some friend's graduation party. And then she said, are you guys going to have a graduation party for me whenever I graduate? All of a sudden, I had this like cold emotion come over me. Graduation party, I started like flinching. Graduation party? I had this flashback. I hadn't thought about it since 1983, when I graduated from high school in 1983. I remember a similar conversation with my parents where I was going to graduation parties. And then I said to my parents, hey, graduation, all my friends are having a graduation party. Are we going to do anything like that? And they looked at me and said, hey, why would we do something like that? I remember just really being bummed about that, just wondering why is it these other parents are doing it, my, and then this happened. I'm sitting there all of a sudden I glaze over, my eyes glaze over at the dinner table, and I'm remembering that, and I'm going, oh man, maybe that's why I'm not all that excited sometimes I spend time with my parents. And I start thinking all this stuff has come back, and all of a sudden I have a digging in moment. And these things that pop up, there's wounds that you and I have had that we're accommodating for, that we've forgotten about. And then all of a sudden something comes to our mind and we can make the choice. Will I dig in and figure out what's going on there? And will I ask God to come in and do what only God can do and talk with him about that or not? There's a dig in. And then step number six is regression. It's when we actually are worse off than we were before. See, at this point, I was getting my typing back. I was getting functional. And then after he dug in on me, then I had big bandages again. Then I was real sensitive again. Then I didn't have as much mobility typing. Then I'm going to bed that night and I'm careful about how I'm sleeping because I can't touch the thing. I regressed. This is one of the reasons why very few of us ever get healing, is because we're not willing to go through the hard work and actually regress. And I don't know why this is. I don't know why God has orchestrated the world to be this way. Maybe it's because when we regress, we realize that we're not all that strong and we need God. Maybe it's because when we're regressing or we're in pain, we're able to identify with Jesus, who was in pain very frequently. Maybe it's because when we regress, we're reminded of our frailty and God's power and how we really are dependent creatures, not independent creatures. I don't know why, but there is just this sense of regression. I had some regression by January when we moved into this facility. When I see empty seats in here, a big part of me is like excited about empty seats. We haven't had empty seats for years. You know, we've tripled our seating capacity and we didn't build this facility for the next couple of years. We built the facility for the next 20 years. So it's kind of cool that we have the ability, you know, for the future. At the same time, I started regressing in January. I had to go, what is going on? See, part of my thing, I don't want to go into all my wounds or wound I've talked about a few months ago, but I have this thing that I want to measure up. I want to measure up. I feel like my worth is when I'm doing well. And how do I measure up? How do I know I'm doing well? Well, normally it's in relationship to other people. If I'm doing better than other people, then I'm doing well. That's generally, you know, how it works for me, or and for many of us. And so I've known for a long, long, long time that I have to be careful about how I deploy my leadership here at our church, because if I'm not careful, I'll start to do things that would grow our church, and so that I feel better about me because our church is growing. This isn't new for me. I've known about this and talked with people about it, and I felt like I've had a really good handle on it, and I don't look back on stuff that we've done and feel like that's been tainted. I just know that this is something I gotta be careful of, and I haven't struggled with it for years. I thought, I'm healed. That's over. I don't think in those terms at all. And then come about January, I noticed I started regressing. I started comparing myself to other people. I started being discontent about things. And so I dug in and realized part of it is because now I felt that I could compete with other people who had other churches in the nation that I didn't feel like I could compete with before. So now I have a new field of competition. Sick, very sick, very sick. So I go, what do I do? I gotta realize, okay, regressing. Maybe my healing wasn't complete. Maybe my healing in this whole area wasn't complete. And actually, I thought, gosh, why would I tell people this on the weekend? Well, you know, the reason I wouldn't tell it is if I was trying to hide it. And if I was trying to hide it, then I'm definitely not on the road to healing it. You know, the way you master things, you bring them out into light. Things that are hidden are like mold. They grow. They bring it out in the light. You regress. You'll find this as you're trying to heal up from something. You'll regress. You'll think that the person you're with, that you forgave the infidelity, and you go to a party, and all of a sudden you regress because you swear you saw them look at somebody too long. You regress. You get invited to go out and play some sport, and all of a sudden waves of insecurity come over you because you feel like I'm not an athlete, because you're still believing the stuff that happened when you got cut in high school or whatever, and all of a sudden you feel inadequate, and you feel this. There's the national regret, or you'll volunteer around here. You volunteer, and there's something about the people you're volunteering with that really bother you, and it bothers you because they're tapping into something that's part of your wound, and you don't like it, and you'll actually like leave. You'll step back. It's all part of the regression process. And the next step is the desensitization. Right now, maybe 10% of us have ever been this far. Just my educated guess of people I know. Desensitization, it's a weird term. It's a medical term that I learned from Dr. Welsh. It's not the same term as we're being desensitized to violence on television. It means that when you are very sensitive, and because your nerves aren't operating properly, you're unduly sensitive, not in a healthy way. You have to do the opposite thing that you think. You think that, okay, I just gotta leave it alone and just let it get better. No, what you have to do is you actually have to rough it up. It's called the desensitization process. You bring it around areas and you actually desensitize it. You retrain yourself to feel the proper way. You rub it. He told me to rub it on denim, rub it on corduroy or something. You desensitize it. See, because if you want freedom, if you want your fingers to be free, you want your life to be free, you have to master the thing that's wounded you. You can't stay away from it. You have to go back. You have to visit it. You have to desensitize yourself to it. If you've been raped in a dark alley, at some point you got to go back to a dark alley. If you've been made fun of in a sporting event, at some point you've got to go back to a sporting event where there are other people. If you feel like you've been let down by somebody who you're with, you've got to go in public with that person and watch them interact with somebody of the opposite sex and get desensitized. You can't just hold yourself off and watch movies the whole time in your relationship. You actually have to go into these places where you're actually desensitized. If you've gone bankrupt and you've always had a dream to do your own business, you can't just say, okay, I'll be an hourly worker right now. If that's what you felt like God has been wanting you to do, you gotta get back on the horse and go back and do it again. And it might not work out again, but in going back in and doing it, You were desensitizing yourself. What you're saying is, you don't master me, I master you. Because as long as you, my fear, my wound masters me, I am in bondage. I don't have freedom. You actually have to go back to a table saw and you got to look at it. You got to be okay with it. You actually got to hear it. Seriously, that's like the third time I've done that now. Fourth, it still freaks me out a little bit. You know, I'm getting a little better every time. But you know, if I just give up home improvement stuff, what I'm saying is this thing masters me. I'm not healed. And where you have fears, you probably have wounds. And the reason that's important to deal with is because that has become your God, because your life is structuring around that thing. See, God doesn't want you just to survive and function. He wants you to be free. To be free. To be a place where you're in meetings or in groups of people and you're not in bondage to what they're thinking about you or what they're saying. That you have this abandonment to life because you're free. You're free. You're not just getting by. You're free. And you can be free. You can. This is very possible. You don't have to live in the midst of the wounds. You don't. Because God is a healer. God's a physician. And sometimes God comes down and he heals in such a way that, boom, this whole process is maybe 3 minutes long or something like that. Or 5 seconds long. For me, most of my process, it is a decade long. It's decades long. And what's nice about that is I get to lean into God in a unique way through this process. We have to desensitize. The person who abused you, you may have to see him again. Or you may at least need to write them a letter. Or you may at least need to write a letter and like you're going to send it and then rip it up because it wouldn't be healthy to send it. I mean, there's something you have to do to show you don't own me. You don't own me. I want to be free. And I want God to totally unleash me in my life. And then that brings us to step 8, which is then the natural occurrence once you go through this stuff. It's freedom. Freedom, where you feel total freedom. Now, these first 4 steps are normal. The second 4 steps are abnormal. Very few people go through them. The first 4 steps are natural. They will naturally happen. You'll naturally get wounded. You'll naturally stop the bleeding. You'll naturally get bitter. You'll naturally accommodate. The second 4 steps are unnatural and supernatural. It is a supernatural thing to go. You have to believe, or likely will believe in a God to go through these steps. And you'll have to believe in God in order to get the step of freedom. I just believe that there's a sense of freedom that you only get when God gets involved in your life. This is a supernatural process, these last 4 steps. And you lean into people on this stuff. I had a planning meeting. This last Monday for this service, and we were talking about, oh, maybe we'll, because I've had this message burning in me for a while, because I feel like God's been teaching me things while I've been waiting on my fingers, and I've noticed these things are the same things I've noticed in my healing in other parts of my life. So as we were talking more about this, this Monday, trying to get everything together for the service, I said, hey, there's this song that, why don't you guys do? I'd love for you to do this song that I think about a lot, and it's about healing, and it's about repentance. Repentance means a holistic life change. It means a holistic about face. Where you go and you say, okay, God, I'm going this direction. I don't like it. I'm going to holistically change and go in the right direction. So how about if you guys did this song? And then Josh, I said, hey, I got a better idea. How about if you actually play it? I said, no, that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea, because I'll give people wounds. I'll give people wounds if I, like, play or sing anything. And on top of that, I've never been a good guitarist, but if you've ever played guitar before, you know this is like the worst thing you can do for your fingers. I mean, if you ever picked up a guitar, and your fingers were functioning properly, they hurt when you're done, because you don't have calluses or anything. Well, you think about not having done this for 5 months, and you don't think about fingers on denim? I can still feel that. Well, you think about fingers on a knife edge going down. That's a whole different deal. So when he said that on Monday, I thought, And then I realized, boy, that could really mark a sense of healing for me. If I could do that, desensitize to myself with that, I could do anything. If I could play guitar, that would be it. I would really mark the moment of being free. Maybe I'd still have some feeling there, but I'd be free. So I decided to do that and picked up the guitar for the first time just yesterday. So excuse me if I wound you. But I'd like you, while we do this, or while I do this, and Rick's going to back me up as well, to just think about what these words mean to you and how God may be wanting to heal you. God, would you visit us in a unique way right now as I pray for people? And I'm asking that something supernatural here happens in the last 15 minutes of our service. Something supernatural takes place where you shower down something that only you can shower down. Where you do some inner healing that only you can do. I ask that you would guide our memories right now, that you guide our thoughts, and we'd feel your love. God, I'm asking for your healing right now. I'm asking for healing with everyone in here that's been abused. I'm asking for healing with everybody in here who's been walked out on. God, I'm asking for healing in here for people who have cancer. Yes, I believe that. I believe you have that power. And I'm asking for it. What do I want? I want that gone. I'm asking for healing in here for the marriage that they thought this was the last service they were coming to together because they were done. I'm asking for healing on the child that has lost respect for his parents. I'm asking for you to heal that relationship. God, bring to our mind right now. Hear our prayers. Hear our prayers as we ask for our unique healing.